Welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tablet Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Olfactory Factory here at Car Talk Plaza. This is a cute little thing.
This is good. You want to read it?
No, I'll let you read it because you like to read.
This is from a very recent issue. Who gets this thing so recently?
Dougie.
A very recent issue of Automotive News. One of the big three, that would be Chrysler, GM,
or AMC, right?
Or AMC. is close to finding the smell of success, literally. Dr. Alan Hirsch, director of the Smell and Taste Treatment and Research Foundation, get that? In Chicago, says that an automaker, whom he declined to identify, has hired him to produce a custom-designed scent. S-C-E-N-T.
Yes.
When sprayed on dealer sales personnel, the scent will make them appear more honest and trustworthy to customers. I mean, can you? They will go to.
Well, all it's really going to do is mask the smell of the beer and the onions.
Well, actually, you know, I heard just this week, I had lunch with my dear friend Polly, who told me that she's been shopping around for a car and she discovered a new salesman's technique. They must have all gone to the same seminar. Get this. She walks into a dealership, I think it was a Toyota dealership. And she's roaming around, and some salesman comes over, and he says, "Hi, my name is Larry. What's yours?" And she says, "Polly." And he says, "Polly, my wife's name is Polly." And they sit down, and they talk, and he shows the different cars. And they actually get to the point where she's willing to entertain an offer from these guys.
And then someone comes over and says, "Fred, there's a phone call for you with your wife, Harriet."
No.
And by the way,
he's sitting there, and he's filling out the form. You know, they have to always fill out the form, so they're going to go take it to the manager. And he says, "Polly, P-A-U-L.
Oh.
Isn't that? And the
sweet.
Only reason she suspects anything is that a couple of days later, she's at a Ford dealership. Guy walks over and says, "Hi, what's your name?" She says, "Polly." He says, "My wife's name is Polly." So that's the latest ploy. So I think the response to that is when he says, "My name is Larry," you say, "Larry, my ex-husband's name was Larry. I hated that SOB."
Hey, by the way, we have a DART update.
Yeah.
Coming up later on, we'll discuss that. And by the way, I'm working on the epilogue to the poem.
String puzzlers?
No. The poem about your DART that was read last week.
Yeah, wasn't
week
that before, great?
Or whatever that was. Yes, I have a few closing stanzas, which
are
not quite ready for. Yes, they're in the works.
Will they be ready during the show? No, because how are they going to get ready? You'll be here.
Well, not unless you can answer any questions this week. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Catherine from Seattle.
Hi, Catherine from Seattle. How are you?
Good, Seattle.
Wait a minute. Catherine from Seattle. I have trouble with Seattle because I don't know if the Catherines in Seattle are C Catherines or K Catherines.
I wrote it with a C.
Well, I'll tell you what. My middle name is Mary.
Oh, then it's a C.
Absolutely.
And that's how I wrote it also, with a C.
Because it really should be Mary Catherine.
It should be, yeah.
I was named for a bunch of other Marys, and they thought it would just be one too many Marys in the family, so it got put as my middle name.
Great.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Good idea, instead of like Mary 1, Mary 2.
That's right. Well, actually, I had a bunch of great aunts all with the name Mary, so we called them by their husband's name. It was Auntie George, Auntie Nick, Auntie Lou.
No kidding.
Yep.
That was brilliant.
I like it.
They all had complexes, but that's another issue. So what's up, Catherine?
Well, listen, I've got a 1992 Toyota Corolla. It's a 5-speed manual transmission. And for a couple years, I've been having a problem with, during acceleration or deceleration, some really severe jerking or bucking or stuttering. I'm not quite sure how to describe that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I can be in second gear at 20 miles an hour or third gear at 30 miles an hour, you know, kind of in that nice spot where you should be.
Uh-huh.
And just ever so slightly put my foot on or off the gas, and the car will jerk like that. And the only way I can make it stop is to put my foot on the clutch.
And this started happening all of a sudden?
Well, it started a couple years ago, and it's gradually been getting worse. It seems to be worse when the car is cold.
Mm-hmm.
Can you override it, for example, if it were doing this and you just floored it?
I've tried that, and no, it gets worse.
Gets worse.
How about climbing hills?
I haven't noticed it climbing hills.
Yeah.
And I've had the fuel pump pressure checked, and they said that was good.
Yeah.
I've had the oxygen sensor checked. That was good. My husband changed the fuel filter.
And that was good.
And that was good. We changed the distributor cap and wires.
Uh-huh.
I just had my car in the shop getting the timing belt changed, and they changed a corroded battery cable that has been bad for a while. And they also cleaned the throttle plate.
Mm.
Well, they're closer. They're getting closer.
Yeah?
Well, I think you may just have dirty fuel injectors.
Oh.
I like it.
Okay.
And that would cause exactly the symptom that you have.
Because this is typically a symptom of not having enough power. That's why it's doing that. For example, if you were in third and it did this and you shifted it to second, it wouldn't do it.
Maybe.
I would guess that it wouldn't do it.
Okay.
So that's why it may be the who's-he-what's-he.
Dirty injectors.
Because then you wouldn't have enough power because you wouldn't be getting enough fuel.
And you can solve the problem perhaps with an additive. You can put a fuel injector cleaner in the tank.
Okay. Now, one other question I have, and I don't know if this would be related or not.
Try it.
Well, the check engine light has come on a few times.
Ha!
Wait, you can't leave out information.
That's
like
a 15-yard penalty.
not while this problem is occurring. It happens when I'm in cruise control at like 60 miles an hour for over 15 or 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah, but whenever you have a check engine light come on, you've got to check it. that's why it says check engine.
I had the mechanics check it when I just had the car in for the timing belt and all that.
Yeah.
And they said they couldn't figure out what was causing it to come on, and they thought maybe it was that bad corroded battery cable.
It's possible, but first of all, if you wait too long after the light has come on, the code gets erased.
Oh, okay.
So if it was weeks and weeks ago, then it's gone. They'll have no way to retrieve that code. The next time the light comes on, get it into them the next day.
Okay.
And the code should still be there, and they can figure out what it may not pertain to your problem, but it may.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
See you, Catherine.
Thanks, you guys.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Boy, talk about
luck.
Imprudent and unwise. The state of Massachusetts, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, recently bestowed upon my 16-and-a-half-year-old son a license to operate a motor vehicle.
Isn't that great?
Well, it's interesting. He goes for the test.
I heard this story.
In Massachusetts, I guess, I don't know, I haven't had a driving test for a long time. I probably should have one. But the tests are administered by state policemen. Mm-hmm. So this state cop can barely get in the car. He's like 6'5", and he's got the hat and the gun and the thing. And with the seat all the way back, he's already ticked off. He can't get into the car, and he spends the entire time of the test yelling and screaming at my son, telling him everything that he's doing wrong.
Mostly they were things that his father advised him to do.
Just one small point. Every time I went driving with him, it seemed like he was on the verge of sideswiping the parked cars. And I was fearful that anyone who even cracked the door open an inch would have his door sheared off by my son. And
this from the guy who has now knocked off maybe three mirrors from pickup trucks?
Never on the passenger side. The mirrors that I knock off are always driver's side mirrors.
Really?
Yeah. Taken by oncoming traffic.
Oh, that's even better.
So I instruct him during our various drives to make sure he stays close to the middle of the lane, and in fact, I encouraged him to hug the line.
Right. Try to get those tires on the driver's side right on the line.
So
as
to
close
speak.
As close as you can.
Figuring that would, in some measure, counteract his tendency to stay to the right.
To wipe out mirrors, yeah.
First thing the guy yells at him about, get over to the right. If you don't get over to the right, I'm going to flunk you. So the entire test is completed, and he hands my son back his permit, and dejectedly, he puts it in his pocket, and the fellow says to him, well, don't you want to say anything? And I could just hear my Andrew saying, oh, I want to say plenty to you. And he finally tells him that he's been awarded his driver's license. And Andrew jumps into his arms and gives him a big hug.
And he says, I'm going to kill my father.
So there'll be yet another menace on the road to join your son.
Yeah. I hope not. But I have a pre-totaled car you might be interested in, though.
Really?
Yeah, because I mean, it's evidently part of the rite of passage to total a car. And I have, let's just like Nissan Bombs, the junkyard, or auto recycling. They
important.
Say they have pre-rusted parts.
Yes.
I have a pre-totaled vehicle.
Really?
So if Andrew totals it, it'll be a small loss, so to speak.
Oh, you mean the Volvo?
What else do I mean?
Told me he wouldn't be caught dead.
I'm going to start giving him driving lessons in the Volvo.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, who's this?
My name's Nirav, and I'm from Washington, D.C.
Your name is what?
Nirav. Yeah, that's a tough name. It's N-I-R-A-V.
Nirav.
Nirav.
Got it.
You got it. Okay, fantastic.
And you're from where?
Washington, D.C. Well, actually, I just moved here. I grew up in Indiana. And
okay.
Out here for the first time.
What kind of a name is Nirav?
Well, it's an Indian name from India.
Yeah, good?
Good. It's a Gujarati name, Western India.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You're from Indiana.
It's a typical name. It's like Joe or, you know, Bob or whatever in
Nirav.
India. Yeah.
And it's pronounced Nirav.
You got it.
I love it. You're not a politician or a lawyer, are you?
No, not at all. I'm just a lowly student that hangs out in my dungeon basement.
Oh, yeah?
Good.
Where do you go? Georgetown?
Georgetown.
How is it there?
Oh, it's great. I mean, the girls are beautiful, the classes are easy, and the beer flows like water. So it's a good place to be.
What more would you want?
What more could you want is right.
Well, I mean, exactly. And see, I'm here as a graduate student, so I really have to do very little work. So.
Very, very little, yeah.
Yes.
So what an endorsement. I mean, I wonder if the Barron's Book of College Rating Systems there has that in it. It must have.
No, but the Budweiser book does.
Right. Yeah, Budweiser must know where all the beer goes.
They sure do.
Oh, man.
I wonder if they publish or perish.
Oh, no, they don't. They don't publish, but they know.
Yeah.
Anyway, Nirav, what's going on besides the booze and the... Never mind.
Yeah, right. So, first time in my life, I got a new car. And I bought myself a Jeep Wrangler this year with a soft top.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Not realizing that those tops have to go up when it rains. And so I left it down. It rained one night. And when I came out the next morning, I look at my car and the hood's up. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with the hood? Someone left the hood up. So I go over there, and my neighbor's sort of looking at me with this scowl. It's about 8 in the morning. He says, you know, your horn was going off about 5 in the morning. Oh, sorry.
Oh,
yeah. And then he says, then I look at him. I said, did you do this? He says, no, it wasn't me.
Right.
Yeah, right. So ever since then, my horn hasn't worked, and I clearly think this is a case of car sabotage.
No, I don't think it's sabotage.
No?
No. I mean, luckily, you had left it. Well, you can't really lock this vehicle anyway.
No.
But you were nice enough to leave the top down, so someone just popped the hood and disconnected your horn.
Well, I tried that. I don't know how to get it back in there. What do I do? I checked the fuses. I checked the little wires that go to the horn. I checked everything. I thought maybe there was like a secret circuit behind the...
The wire is connected to the horn?
Yeah, two of them. There's two horns, and both wires go in.
Well, then someone cut it.
Someone cut the wire.
Well, no, they would have cut it right at the horn because the horn is easy to access on this vehicle.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
More likely, they may have disconnected the horn relay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where's this relay?
It's probably under the hood someplace, or maybe. I imagine they opened the hood.
Yeah.
Open the hood. There it is. You're fast asleep. Put yourself in the other in the perps.
Oh, boy.
Position. There he is. He's fast asleep, and all of a sudden he hears this horrible noise. What the heck is that? He goes outside. He traces it down to your vehicle. Luckily, everything's available. He opens the hood. He probably didn't bring any tools with him.
No.
No.
I mean, you wouldn't bring a set of wire cutters with you at 5 o'clock in the morning.
He might have brought a half a pound of sugar, though.
No, but the vehicle runs. You're driving it every day, right?
Yeah,
it's D.C. You got to have a horn.
You got to have a... Well, I mean, you might have to do a little work here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I don't know offhand where the relay is, but it's probably on the firewall or close to it. But it may be, and he may have opened the hood, but I'm thinking if he did open the hood and saw the wires as readily accessible as they are...
I can't believe
he would have just yanked them.
Yeah.
So
it's dark at 5 o'clock, don't forget. So he doesn't know what he's doing, maybe.
He might have just started yanking at everything. He may have pulled out a bunch of wires. I would go first look for the relay, and if the relay is plugged in, then I would look under the dashboard and see that he didn't, in fact, rip some wires out from under the dash.
Ah, the dashboard.
Yeah. because that's where the horn stuff, that's where the horn button is on the steering wheel.
Yeah.
And the wire goes down, you know, underneath the dash.
It is surprising, though, because if he went to the trouble of opening the hood.
Yes.
The horn is so easy to see, and the wires are so easy to see, it would have been the simple thing for him to do.
Well, he didn't want to do the simple thing. He wanted to do something that would teach you a lesson.
Oh, so he was, even though he was half asleep, he wasn't that half asleep.
No, but believe me, by the time you got down there, he wasn't half asleep at all. He was wide awake. He was wide awake. So if you can't find it, take it to the dealer and ask them where the parts guy at the dealership. You may even call on the phone where the horn relay is located, and I bet you'll find it unplugged.
The relay.
Yeah.
Otherwise, just ask your neighbor because he did it.
Well, no, he's a big guy. I don't know.
Oh, so you know who did it?
Oh, he's looking at me with a scowl. You know,
yeah, no, it wasn't an accident that he knows. Just say, all right, I give up. Yeah. Sometimes you have to just confront.
Play stupid.
Yeah.
So you're not going to believe this. I don't understand it. Somebody must have opened my hood, and they did something to my horn.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. Do you know anything about cars? Would you take a look?
And stand back in case he slams the door in your face. You don't want to get a broken nose out of this. Good luck, man.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Bye.
So
long, you're up.
All right. Look, it's time for us to take a break. And when we come back, we'll answer last week's puzzler. Do you happen to remember anything about it? No, not a clue, huh? Nothing?
No.
I didn't think so. I'll give you a hint. It involves string and a Zippo lighter.
It sounds like it's going to hurt.
I hope so. We'll be back in a minute.
Will you love me when my carburetor is busted? Will you love me when I cannot shift my gear? Will you love me when I need a new condenser? And when my clutch begins to slip, will you shed tears? Will you love me when my battery needs recharging? Will you love me when I cannot blow that old horn? And when my connecting rod is bent, I no more want my cent. Will you love me, mama? Will you love me, mama? Will you love me when my car wheel alone can go?
And even though the IRS stamps the network's returns audit mercilessly whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and of course, the answer to last week's puzzler, which my brother couldn't remember. Here's the further hint. This is the first in my series of string puzzlers.
Oh, I remember it now.
Oh, sure. Now you remember it. What a good it does us now.
The string... There's a series of string puzzlers?
Well, if two constitutes a series, then yeah.
Certainly it does.
Okay, here...
This one was marvelous.
You didn't like the other one?
Well, I don't remember the other one.
Oh.
I didn't even remember this one, but now I do. And this one is fantabulous. This is going in the next book of great puzzlers we have known.
We have a book. Yeah. Anyway, you have in your possession...
It's going to be called Haircut and String Town.
You have in your possession two pieces of string. Let's say that each is a couple of feet long, but it doesn't really matter. And they can both be different lengths. It doesn't matter either. And they're burnable, like the fuses that they use to, you know, light dynamite. Now, you could light either end of either string, and it would burn. And in fact, if you lit one end of a string, it would burn in exactly an hour. You with me so far?
I've got it.
So you light a string with what? The Zippo lighter.
The Zippo lighter. So if you light one end of one of the strings...
And it's lying on the table or on the floor.
It would burn right along, and it would take 1 hour to be gone.
But here's the wrinkle. The strings do not burn in at a constant rate. For example, a string might burn for 2 minutes and then go crazy and burn like mad and then slow down and da da da. You don't know what rate the string is burning at any specific time. All you know is that in an hour's time, the whole string is burned.
Yeah.
It's not linear.
Gotcha.
Okay? And not predictable.
Gotcha.
All right. You got it?
You got it.
So the question very simply is, with the Zippo lighter and these two strings, how would you measure 15 minutes of time?
Wow.
And I did mention, I think, that there are two answers to this. I'm only going to give you one answer this week.
Oh, you are?
Yes, because the other answer...
is next week's puzzler.
Is, well, not in the future.
Yeah.
If you light three ends at once with the Zippo lighter.
Wow.
Okay?
Yeah.
So you take string A, light both of its ends.
Mm-hmm.
You take string two and light one end.
Yeah.
Well, what's going to happen? Because you lit both ends of the first string, in a half an hour's time, that string is going to burn up completely.
It's going to be
gonzo, right?
So, you know, a half an hour has gone by.
A half an hour has gone by. And similarly, the other string you lit is going to burn for half an hour's time, right?
Yeah.
At which point, as soon as the first string has burned up completely, you'll light the remaining end.
Of string two.
Of string two. And because the first part of that string you lit is continuing to burn, it's going to take 15 minutes before those two flame fronts meet, and you'll have measured exactly 15 minutes. Berman says, no, you'll measure 15 minutes from the time
from
that
the
you lit
string.
The second string.
Exactly. So the question could have been, how would you measure 45 minutes or 15 minutes? And it would be the same answer.
Exactly.
So we can use that for the puzzle next
week. Yeah, that's the puzzle
how
next
would
week.
How you measure 45 minutes? This is a brilliant. I mean, people are going to have to think about it. I can hear people now saying, that's not going to work.
Well, there are going to be people that will complain because they'll say, well, how do you know when you light both ends?
Yeah. Well, you think about it.
Right. Don't forget, this is all hypothetical. You couldn't really do this.
This is a gedunken string.
No, it's possible to do
of
it.
Of course you could do
it. And it works. And if you don't like it, tough. Who's our winner this week?
Oh, winner. The winner this week is Calvin Cunin from Columbus,
Ohio. Did I mention you were wearing a watch when you lit these strings?
You got to be wearing a watch.
Yeah.
How would you know when 15 minutes
okay,
went by?
Just checking.
Oh, yeah. You got to be wearing a watch.
Oh, yeah,
a pocket watch would be all right.
Pocket watch would be
good. Oh, you could just have access to the clock
wall
on the wall.
Clock. You look at the IBM wall clock.
And that
say,
would work.
15 minutes is up. The strings are extinguished. I'm done.
You did mention that.
I sure.
I think you did, yeah. The winner is Calvin Cunin from Columbus, Ohio. And for having his correct answer chosen from among the thousands to... correct answers that we got this week, our pal Calvin is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division, with which he can get a copy of our book, Ask, Click, and Clack. It's a collection of our newspaper columns in which people ask us car questions, and then we largely ignore the question and write about whatever we feel like writing about.
Oh, kind of like what we do here on the show, right?
Yeah. With the added bonus that you don't have to listen to us.
That's when you just turn the page. Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. In the meantime, let's see who's waiting patiently on hold for us. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Rich from Hershey, Pennsylvania. Chocolate Town, USA.
Hi, Rich.
Yeah, right. And Old Car Town, USA.
Yes, right. All them junk dealers bring all their stuff here.
Not junk, Rich. It's not junk. One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Our priest made the mistake of welcoming the junk dealers. One time they came, they didn't give anything. Anyhow.
So what's up?
Well, a bug.
Bug? How old?
It's a 72 bug.
Yeah.
Automatic, and it belongs to my granddaughter. 93,000 miles on it. And the thing is, it gets better gas mileage than it does oil mileage. But it doesn't burn it. Now, if you open the trunk, you know, where the motor is, and you start it, you can see oil gushing out, you know, all that sheet metal in there. What do I need to do to fix it?
Do you see the oil coming up the top of the motor?
It's on, like, the flat part down, you know, where the flywheel is. And then there's a well there to catch all of that oil.
I don't think that's why the well was designed.
As you're looking at it, is it in the middle of the engine, to the right, to the left, or toward the front of the car?
It's in the middle of the engine on the left side.
One place that it could leak is the pedestal that holds the generator, or the alternator in this case.
It's down below that.
So it's leaking onto the sheet metal where the pulley is.
You got it.
Okay, it's leaking. The oil pump is leaking then.
Uh-huh.
You've got to take the engine out.
Ooh, no.
Well, yeah. I mean, it only takes half an hour to take it out.
That's what everyone says. They're so easy to work on. But everything you do, You have to take the engine out. And everyone says it only takes half an hour. And if ever there was a crock.
No, it takes a half an hour. You can have. It's probably ready to fall out.
If
things
you
100
do it
years
every
old.
Day, it takes half an hour. If you never did it before, it takes half a week.
Well, Rich isn't going to do it, are
you? Yeah, I want to do it.
Of course he's going to do it.
I don't want to pay the labor to have it done.
All right, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to the library.
Okay.
And get John Muir's book.
John Muir.
You don't have that yet?
No.
Oh, Rich.
No, I never
Rich.
Needed it before.
Well, you're going to need it. You're going to memorize this chapter and verse, as they say.
Okay.
And it's the guide to...
Auto Repair for Dummies.
No, it's not called that. It's a complete... the Volkswagen Guide for the Complete Idiot.
Okay, I fit in both categories.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Is that M-U-I-R or
yes.
what?
Yes,
M-U-I-R.
Okay.
John is his first name.
Yeah.
And what he did was he wrote a book on how to repair and maintain Volkswagens of this era.
Okay.
And he'll tell you how to take the engine out in half an hour.
Yeah.
And then how to take the engine apart. You may have to rebuild the entire... If you're going to take it out, you may want to just rebuild the entire engine.
See, this is how easy it is.
Ooh, does that book tell you tells you when to take lunch breaks and everything?
It does.
Tells you when, and what to have for lunch if you're on a low-cal diet.
Okay. But we need it here in Hershey, you know. Low-cal, chocolate.
So, you'll have to read the sections on oil leaks.
Okay.
There are 11 of them, actually.
Jeez.
And you may find out that you need to do one or two things, and then you can put the engine back in. I mean, you probably don't need to take the engine apart and split the case and all that, because that gets costly and time-consuming. So you may be able to pull the engine out, replace the oil pump and who knows what else, and put the thing back together, and you may be all right.
And then pray that it runs, right?
And if it doesn't, a half hour later, you have the engine out again.
Yeah. See, I like that half-hour bit. I was figuring maybe I'd have to start on a Friday if I wanted to have it done by Monday. But just a half hour.
Wait a minute, Friday of what month?
Half hour means just taking the engine out. Doesn't mean you're going to have it fixed in half an hour.
No, I understand that.
Buy the book first, Rich.
Okay, and you say that the oil pump might be the problem.
Well, I think so.
Okay.
But put the car in a spot where it won't be in the way, because it may be there for a long, 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 long time.
Yeah, well, put it in a place where it would look nice with flowers growing out of it.
You know what? I've been given that advice already.
Hey, Rich, the best of luck to you.
Hey, thanks, guys. I really enjoyed talking to you.
I'm sure your granddaughter is going to love this.
She will, and will owe it all to Click and Clack.
Great.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks much.
Bye-bye.
Bye
now.
We should mention, by the way, while we have a little break in the action here, that through some very diligent investigative work, we have managed to secure the remains of the Dart.
This is fascinating.
I think I mentioned last week that unbeknownst to me, the junkyard where the newly restyled Dart was resting actually had sent the car to the crusher. Not only had they already crushed it, but they put it on a flatbed truck and they drove it to some place in Revere or Charlestown.
I mean, to be fair, it was already pretty well crushed.
Oh, it was.
It didn't need much additional crushing.
It did. I mean, we should have got a discount on the crushing.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, there wasn't much to crush. So the crusher, I didn't know this, the crusher flattens it out and sends the thing to Manglers R Us or the Pulverizers of New England, someplace in Revere, and they chop it up. They take this cube and they chop it up into, as they call them, fist-size pieces. Now, naturally, we were disturbed about this. So we have managed to retrieve this pile of fist-size pieces.
Right.
Although I have to say that we don't really know that these were the same fist-size pieces as
I could see something. There was a piece of a pizza box in one.
I mean, they may co-mingle these fist-size pieces.
There may be some contamination.
There may be some.
But the essence of these pieces is that they're the Dart, and
we
have placed them all in Berman's living room.
Yeah.
Awaiting further instructions. He's awaiting further instructions from us because he doesn't know what to do with them.
No.
And we haven't decided what to do with them either. So if you want to follow the Dart's progress, you can see all the gory pictures on our website and make suggestions about what we do with these fist size.
Yeah, there are a lot of them.
Hundreds.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are we going to do with that?
Could we slice them up? Make like salami?
Like bologna sandwiches.
I can see slicing them, you know?
Maybe. Oh, I like that
idea. I like the slice idea.
I like that idea.
What would you do with it then?
Well,
then you'd have a slice of life. A slice of life.
Right. No. Okay. That's good. Well, 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello.
What's with the double, triple? You don't do that anymore.
Oh, you mean 888-227-8255? I do it once in a while. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi.
Who's this?
I'm Mara. I'm calling you from Ashland, Oregon.
Mara with an M-A-R-A?
Yes.
Ashland, Oregon.
You got it.
Got it.
You have such a nice voice.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, have you considered a career in radio?
I did, but for some reason I just didn't feel like getting into the competition of it all.
You did. You'd actually considered it. We haven't considered it.
Yeah, we didn't consider it. See how things happen.
In fact, just before we got you on the line, the engineer was telling us to talk into the microphone. You'd think that after 25 years of doing this, we would at least know that these things in front of us are microphones, and they, like, pick up the sound of your voice.
Well, you would think after all these years, they would have improved the technology.
So that morons like us wouldn't have to think of anything.
Exactly. Anyway, Mara, what's going on?
Well, I have ants in my car.
Ants?
Mm-hmm.
Man, another one of these problems.
It's better than having ants in your pants.
What color are they?
They're black. They're the little sugar ants.
Oh, they're not the red ones that bite.
No, God, no. Thank the Lord. Right. They're not the ones that you find down in Texas in the big heaps, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, those big heaps used to be like Chevy Suburbans.
the ants walk away with them.
Subsume them.
Oh,
Marabunta. Remember that movie?
I do remember.
Man. And they're little, the teeny, teeny ones.
The teeny ones that when you pinch them and you kill them, they smell just terrible.
How many are there? I mean, tons and tons of them?
No, just your average rogue.
Oh, man, this is going to be one of those questions that we know nothing about, and we're going to give you an answer, and I hope you don't believe it.
Well, I have a ready-made answer.
The flamethrower idea is not going to go.
No.
Mara is not a flamethrower kind of person. That's your answer to everything in the car. Flamethrower.
You can't even buy
flamethrowers anymore.
Are you kidding me?
J.C. Whitney?
The hollowed-out, burned-out hull of my car on the side of the street.
Government surplus auction, man.
Let me just think for a second. If I had ants, you know what I would do?
What?
I would tell my wife, hon, there's ants in the car. And she would deal with it somehow, and it's not my area of expertise.
Well, I'll tell you what has worked, not in cars, but has worked great for me otherwise. And they've sold them for about 1,000 years.
Little cans. Yeah.
That say ant trap on them.
You guys, I hate to tell you this, but I already tried that.
And it didn't work.
I have the solution.
Okay.
Flamethrower. Well, wait a minute. Why wouldn't those have worked?
I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking that maybe because I know that these ants are sugar ants. We have them all over the place here in Oregon. What is a sugar ant?
What does that mean, sugar ant?
They're attracted to sugar?
Yeah, exactly.
Then you need to have a picnic just outside your car.
And I would put up posters and stuff in advance.
You can't fake them out.
Thursday, pick.
Rain or shine.
You can't fake them out either.
You need to have the whole thing. You need to have the blanket, the picnic basket. If you try to fake them out, they won't come. You need to go through the whole routine.
Maybe take out an ad on the radio. In the car, you can make sure that the radio's on in the car.
Big picnic, Mara's house
Thursday. 10 a.m.
Oh, no, better than that, you go to a remote spot, because once you lure them out of the car.
Oh, you don't want them finding the car again.
You got to leave. You got to ditch them like a homing pigeon.
So you bake a couple of cakes, you make some fried chicken.
And just leave the stuff right there.
Sandwiches, the whole bit.
And you can yell out the window as you're driving away, have a nice day!
Well, that's my only thought.
Okay. I'm with them. I don't have anything better.
You need to call Martha Stewart.
You know, maybe I will, you guys. But I appreciate your thoughts on the subject.
Yeah. See you later.
Bye, you guys.
Bye. Ants.
See? Why do we get so... Well, I guess Louis figures we can't answer the questions about cars. Okay, what's next? It's break time.
Yeah, it's time for the stations to share some important messages.
Like, don't worry, you can have your NPR station back as soon as this show is over.
We'll be right back with a brand new puzzler. Stay tuned.
You're walking on the interstate.
And even though all the armies in Game of Thrones unite to storm NPR headquarters whenever we say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
I can hardly wait.
Well, this is from the wonderful world of statistics.
Oh, not another day in the life of Raimi story?
No.
The wonderful world of statistics.
Statistics and academia. This is right up your alley, Tommy.
This is me, man. I used to teach statistics in academia.
There you go.
They threw me out.
I know.
They couldn't take a
joke.
With
considerable justification, I might add.
Of course.
Here it is. A graduate student working at one of the institutions of higher learning in our fair city is writing his dissertation on the relationship between uncontrollable outside forces and automobile accidents. You with me?
Wow, I love it already.
He had collected thousands and thousands of accident reports from the state of Massachusetts, and he was correlating the time of the accident with all the other factors, like temperature, road conditions, automobile size, age of the driver, alcohol usage, speed limits, whether or not they're listening to Car Talk,
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah.
After thousands of hours of data input and hours of computer grinding, he discovered an amazing statistic. So amazing that he collected even more, several hundred thousand more statistics from neighboring states. After many more hundreds of hours of data input and seven more years of graduate school and more computer crunching, he found the absolute safest time of the year to drive an automobile on a public highway. So safe, in fact, that not one single accident had occurred. However, still not able to believe his own conclusions, he returned to collecting more accident reports, this time nationwide. After many more thousands of hours inputting data and several more years of graduate school and numbers crunching, he found nationwide there had been a few accidents during this time, but statistically less than 2% of the number of accidents in any other time frame. The question is, when was the safest time of the year to drive on a public highway, and why? Are you with me?
I not only am I with you, I know the answer already. You know, and I'm...
He's not just another ugly face. I'm sorry, you are. Anyway,
I don't really know the answer, but
you have...
I'm there.
You have,
I know how you're thinking.
You do.
Yeah.
If you think you know the answer. By the way, this was submitted by, I should mention, so I don't
sure,
get
sure, gets yourself off the hook right away.
Roger Hogan from Denver, Colorado. We have a whole dossier on him, so if you think this is bogus, you can send the hate mail right to him. If you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or tape it to the bow of a wooden, ocean-ready, two-person, expedition-level kayak with bow and stern bungee hatch system, molded memory foam seats and recessed cup holder, and paddle your way over to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us right now, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, it's Tim from Providence. How you doing?
Great.
Great.
What's going on?
Well, I've got a 98 Saturn, and the windshield wipers won't turn off.
Great!
I turn them on, and they'll stay on until I turn the car off.
And then if you restart the engine, they're off?
No. If I restart the engine, they still stay on.
So they're on constantly?
That's right.
How long has this been going on?
Oh, about a year.
Man, I can't believe the patience that some people have.
So you've been taking the fuse out?
No. There are two methods I use to turn it off. One is you can really hit the heck out of the steering column, and that'll work about 50% of the time.
Right, that's it.
And the other option is you can stop the car, get out, come around, and try to, if you catch the wipers right at the bottom of their swing, right near the hood.
They'll stay there.
Yeah, they'll stay there. But otherwise, they'll run over your hand and tear up your knuckles.
but how...
That's great.
Well, I'm trying. We do a lot of Saturns in our shop, and I don't remember if we had a...
Never had this problem?
Oh, no, we've had this problem. I'm sure we've had it, but I'm trying to remember if it's more likely to be banging on the steering column, which seems to suggest that it's the switch.
Okay.
And it certainly could be the motor, because grabbing the, I like the idea. So what do? You get up in the morning, you start the thing. If it isn't raining, then you've got to stop the wipers. So you try banging on the steering column.
Yep.
When that doesn't work, you go out and you try to grab the...
At the bottom of the...
When the wipers are approaching what's called their park position.
Yep.
You try to grab the blades or the wiper arms.
And that works.
And hold it down for a second, and that works.
It usually takes two or three times, but yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that suggests the problem is in the motor.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's designed so that no matter where you shut the switch off, they will complete one more cycle, and then the circuit gets interrupted when the blades park.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it could
and
be.
I'm afraid that eliminates...
The switch. Yeah, I think I'm afraid of that too.
I'm afraid that it's...
Well, here's what you need to do. Have you tried anything else besides...
No.
and I guess you're not interested in spending a lot of money to fix this.
Well, it's got 168,000 miles on it, so probably not.
No. All right, here's what you do. You want to go to a what we used to call in the old days a junkyard, but is now called an auto recycler.
Got it.
And you want to buy for 10 bucks or so...
The motor.
A used wiper motor.
Is that something I could put it in myself?
Well, you can. You might not get the wipers to actually work anymore, but...
but you can give it a shot.
You could just find the wiper motor, which I believe is right under the hood on this thing,
right.
And you could unplug it and unplug it back in on rainy days.
Oh.
You could do that. But if you bought a used motor, what you could do is you could plug the motor in and then turn the wipers on, and you would see the shaft turning, you know? And then when you turn the wipers off, you'd see the shaft turn probably one revolution
and stop.
And if that happened, then you'd know you had it fixed. And all you'd have to do then is take the old motor out and put the new motor in. You could do that. But I got a funny feeling I planted a seed here with unplugging the thing. Huh?
That's a very attractive option, I have to say.
All right, go for it.
Well, thanks for your help.
All right, Tim. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Hey. Do you know what time it is?
Time to wheel the tanning lamps into the oil change bay?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chump. This is the part of the show where we disinter a caller from a previous show to see if our advice was any good.
So who's our lucky contestant this week?
Well, according to the little 3x5 card, it's Joan from Illinois. You remember Joan, the Ford Festiva aficionado?
I didn't know there was such a thing.
Anyway, Joan loved her little Festiva. It was making an embarrassing screeching noise whenever she accelerated or made a turn.
Well, we told her it was the hamster wheel under the hood, didn't we?
Well, you told her that. And to add insult to injury, you also sided with her husband.
Yes, it is.
And it's fun.
But it's a little embarrassing to drive it. Now, my husband, he thinks he's a mechanic, but he isn't.
Hmm.
He says, I need new belts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we would say, too.
I think your husband's right. Now, why did you doubt him, Joan?
I'm not going to tell him he's right. No, I will.
What does he do for a living? Is he like a rocket scientist or something?
No. He's the director of music at a high school.
Yeah, he doesn't know anything about mechanics.
Yeah, keep him away from your car.
Well, music director or not, I think the husband's right.
But it's not belts. The Festiva has only one belt.
You mean the one that runs off the hamster wheel?
Yeah. Joan, are you there?
I'm here, guys.
All right, Joan, look, before we find out whether we and your husband were right, we need to verify that the answer you're about to give here in Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff or the high school trombonist union. Is that true?
It's true.
All right.
Okay.
It's true.
Was it the belt?
Yes.
Yes! And I do feel a little embarrassed about getting this one right. I mean, it was so easy.
It was so trivial.
But because these are done at random... You know, I mean, we had no control. We don't get to pick the easy ones or the hard ones. And as you know, Joan, we've made plenty of gaffes in the past.
Yes.
So we needed a little ego booster here, I guess.
More importantly, did you tell your husband he was right?
I made it up to him very well.
Well, we don't need to know any more than that. This is a family show,
Joan.
Pretty
good for me, Joan. I think you did the right thing, and boy.
No, I did, and I continue to tell him he's right to this day.
Oh, how sweet it is!
Well, yeah. What do they call that? You're a gem. You're gracious. You're
a gem among women.
Exactly.
Oh, thanks,
Joan. Thanks, Joan, for playing Stump the Chumps.
Yeah, and you guys were right. I tell all my friends you were
right.
Well,
thank you, Joan.
Okay,
we'll
bye.
Send that fur coat right out. Bye.
Bye.
Now, if you hear someone on this show that you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com, or you can stump us right now by calling 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Diane.
Hi, Diane.
Hi.
How are you, Diane?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing well.
Where are you from?
I am from Riverhead, Long Island.
Where's that?
Riverhead, Long Island?
Yeah.
It is the gateway.
No, not Riverhead. Long Island.
No, is it East Long Island or West Long Island?
It's east. It's east.
Oh, it's
it
way out.
It is the gateway to the Hamptons.
Oh, you don't say.
You really don't say. Yes. The cricket clubs and the polo matches and all that. We've been to the Hamptons. They asked us never to come back, but we were here once.
All right, here's my question, gentlemen.
Yes.
To keep or not to keep. Ready?
Yeah.
The 83 528E BMW with a blown engine. Did I mention the engine was blown?
You just did.
Yeah.
Woo. And let me set the stage here.
Yeah.
My in-laws are farmers. They're the real McCoy. Potatoes, cauliflower, broccoli, right here in Riverhead.
Oh, the broccoli smell.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, too.
Well, it's not as bad as cabbage.
I kept accusing my brother the whole time we were riding from the ferry to the Hamptons.
All right, so
what did you eat, man?
I mean, when you have 500 acres of broccoli.
Oh, yeah, man. It gets pretty
intense. It's not as bad as cabbage. Cabbage is worse.
Oh, cabbage is worse. Maybe it was cabbage we had.
Maybe.
Yeah, cabbage is definitely worse.
Yeah.
All right, so
here's my farmers.
Situation.
Yeah.
My husband has this fantasy of putting a 283 small block V8 engine from his 1966 Chevelle in the BMW with the blown engine.
I like it.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
Well,
what does the fact that your husband's parents are farmers have to do with this?
Because they're resourceful, inventive people.
Because this stuff is all on their farm.
This car has friends up there.
Yeah.
There are, let's see, there's a 1970 Impala up there.
Oh, man, I love it already.
Yep, there's an 84 Honda. There's a sailboat, you know, a couple of things up on the farm.
Yeah.
So it is time to plant.
Gotcha.
So my Polish father-in-law, Jaji, says, what are we going to do with these cars?
I had a Polish father-in-law named Jaja also.
Yeah. So he's got a...
And his wife is Babsha.
Babchi. Absolutely.
Oh, you say Babshi. We used to say Babsha. Babsha and Jaja. Maybe I had it wrong.
Well, it's an issue because, you know, Jaji, he's in his 80s. And, you know, it's time to plant. So we have to move...
Something.
All these cars out of the way to plant potatoes. And I told my husband, please, can we just junk that car? Can we please just junk it?
You know, see, I mean, women always have the same attitude. Let's junk it. Get rid of it. My wife is on me every... Get rid of it. What
can
do
you
need
blame her?
Well, do you know what it is, gentlemen? What I think it is, I think old cars to men are like old jeans to women. I mean, I confess, I do have a pair of size 6 Calvins in my closet that I just can't bear to throw out because I know someday I'm going to get back into them.
Well, guys need hobbies.
A hobby?
You couldn't ask for a better hobby than this.
Where would he do this? On the farm?
Of course.
Somewhere.
Well, How far is the farm from your house?
It's a mile.
Oh,
right,
okay.
Perfect.
Boy. And my oldest son he's not even 12. And my husband's saying, this will be the first car for Robert.
Yeah, it might be done by then.
It might be done by then.
It might be.
Well, and Robert will learn a tremendous amount about patience. About he'll learn a lot of new words.
he'll be intimate with the emergency room at the local hospital.
Gentlemen, this is a man who doesn't have time to like pick up his underwear.
But he will. He'll have time for this.
And this will calm his soul. Guys need this.
This is a
He's
great idea.
He's probably in some very stressful occupation. What does he do?
He's an attorney.
Oh! This is perfect.
This is perfect.
He needs this. Don't deny him this.
Don't deny him this?
No. I wouldn't.
No, you have to support him. He needs this. And this will be an experience. This will bond three generations together. Your son, your husband, and his father.
Nothing could end. They'll all be out of your hair for weeks at a time.
Oh, I'll buy it. Okay.
Right. I could just see them sitting around now eating pierogies and...
Exactly. And you can be going off to the health club. And by the time this engine is in that BMW, you will fit into those jeans.
Okay.
See you, Diane.
Hey, I'm not that far away from it. I'm just saying. I have good memories in those types.
It takes a long time. See you later, Diane.
All right, thank
Be
you.
Be supportive, remember.
All right.
All right, see
All right.
You.
All right. Ciao.
Ciao. Good for her.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, bongo boy, frogman.
Pumpkin lips.
Pumpkin lips Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the South Beach, Cling Peach, Raw Ceviche, Crab Quiche, and Pork Sandwich, Find Your Niche, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Oteka Shower. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian Alban Heard before. Our cleanliness inspector is Adolf DeFleur. Our museum guide is Desdemona Lisa. Our videographer from the Tel Aviv office is Shlomo Replay. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Buddy Rich wannabes in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and above all, don't drive like Tommy.
And don't forget, don't drive like Rainy.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1415, download classic Car Talk episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, how to know when to pull over immediately.
Other than when you spill hot coffee on your lap, that is.
Yeah, besides that.
My brother and I often get asked, how do I know when it's a real mechanical emergency, when I need to pull over right away rather than just have it looked at when I get a chance?
Fire is a good indicator.
Yeah, no, but not all indicators are quite so obvious. That's why you should check out our list of the top 10 signs that you should pull over right away at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the NPR cafeteria lady looks both ways, then rubs up burgers in her armpits whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.